What is going on, Colts Nation? He is Jamal Lawrence, and I'm Eric Smith, your co-host of the Colts Cast.
Yo.
Hey, look. Everyone saw the game last night. That was a fun game. The Indianapolis Colts fell to the Houston Texans 23-19 at home. And what came down to be a game that came to the, you know, last drive, essentially. I mean,
literally last drive, yeah.
Yeah. And we gave the Texans a playoff spot. Not only a playoff spot, Jacksonville Jaguars ended up losing to the Titans today. Gave them the AFC South. Colts could have been right there, man. Could have been. I did predict. I said this game would come down to the wire. It's going to come down to one drive. And it did. And everything was going right, too. You know, we had a chance to put together a game-winning drive. I guess let's start there, Jamal. Let's talk about that final drive. I mean, we were driving up the field.
Mm-hmm.
JT was bruising it down. Gardner Minshew to Tyler Goodson, 4th-and-1. Talk your talk.
Hey, listen, first off, yo, hey. Just be clear about Tyler Goodson. My man, listen, he said during their post-game interview, they've talked about that play. They've run it a bunch of times over and over in practice. He didn't do his part. It ain't all on him. There's a lot more that goes to just him catching the ball. We had a off the back foot throw, back shoulder, low ball thrown to him. Did his hands touch the ball? Absolutely. And I'm not here to bash Minshew or Goodson for what it's worth, but I just want to let people know that we can't sit here and dog him out for dropping that pass, because there was more than him on that particular play, to him not just catching the ball. So, yeah, it stunk. I mean, obviously, we would have loved to see JT in there, and I understand that was a design play for him. I remember the second they showed JT on the sideline, I freaked out. I was like, why is he not in here? But then I said, we're gonna trust what it's like he does in Goodson. Hopefully, it's the right play. And, I mean, it was drawn up great. I mean, let's be crystal clear about that. Had the pass been a good pass and the catch would have been there, there's a high probability. Obviously, it was 100% rate he was going to get that first down, but very high probability he could have shook one defender to get a score, and we would have been having a completely different conversation right now. Of course, hindsight's always 20/20. So, but I just wanted to say, I mean, there was more than him getting his hands on the ball that hindered that play from being successful.
You know what doesn't hinder our play, though? A like, a subscribe, a comment below. Let us know your thoughts, everyone. Please hit that like button, of course. That really helps us out. But Jamal, look, there were two players that had the ability to go beyond and make a play on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Minshew and Goodson. Both of them failed in that endeavor. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to pin it all on them, but Gardner Minshew didn't put enough juice on that ball to give it to Goodson. It was behind him. Goodson, it touched his hands, but it was still behind him. Could have made a huge play by reeling that in.
Yep.
Mistakes were made. And while I firmly believe Jonathan Taylor would have caught that ball, you saw T.Y. Hilton tweet that out.
Oh, yeah. We all know what time it was.
He would have caught that ball in the situation. But, you know, Shane Steichen, I don't think he made the wrong call. You look back at the film, I looked back. I only saw seven men in the box on the Texans side. So that's I won't say that's favorable for JT, but that's normal. They didn't stack the box, in my opinion. JT could have got that 1 yard, and I think he would have gotten it. But he was gassed. He injured ankle, yada, yada. Let's get Goodson in there. Let's scheme up something different. And he did. I mean, Goodson was wide open. The play was there. Players just couldn't execute. So I'm not going to dog him, but it did come down to the players at that point. The play was there. And I think that's a perfect segue to, I mean, let's talk about Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, let's talk about him. What Minshew overall, let's see his stats. 13 for 24, 141, zero touchdowns, obviously zero interceptions. Only took one sack, but I mean, man. 13 for 24. We talked about during this during the other game we had here of a big rushing attack where Minshew only threw, I think, 23 or 24 times, how it worked in our favor because the rushing attack was there. We needed Minshew to just, you know, step down for us and step to the side. This game, though, I think that obviously the rushing attack was there, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But Minshew had some missed opportunities. Obviously, that fourth down, that fourth one right there, we saw a couple bad balls being thrown by him as well throughout the game. So there were some missed opportunities throughout this game where I feel like Minshew could have definitely elevated us and put us in a position if had he given the ball to the receivers or the tight end or the running back at a better time. So
he overthrew Mo Ali Cox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I, that thing to me, Mo Ali Cox running a go route's crazy to me. But anyway,
well, yeah.
I mean, he could have had it. So overthrew him. Another time, I saw another play where he didn't take a chance with Alec Pierce down the field.
Wide open.
Wide open. Safety missed him. He got past the corner. This is the exact scenario where Gardner Minshew just doesn't. I know Shane Steichen's trying to mold this offense around him, but really, I mean, we have Alec Pierce. We have a lot of great pass catchers, and we can't maximize their ability, their potential with Gardner Minshew back there. But, you know, he did well for what it's worth overall on the season, not this game.
Yeah, on the season, yeah. We'll give him it.
Yeah, he's brought in as a high-end backup. Anthony Richardson went down in week 5. How many games did we win with Minshew? We won 7. 7 out of 13 games after Richardson went down. I'm not even counting the games where Richardson went in and out of games. You know, he got injured multiple games. I'm not even counting those. So Minshew stayed healthy. He did his thing. Props to him. He's going to earn more money next year. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, he was never going to take this team to the next level. And this game showed why we needed a quarterback to elevate this team. I feel like the Indianapolis Colts this season, we did overachieve with everything that was brought on the table. But Minshew has a ceiling, man. It's, you know, if you saw C.J. Stroud play and you saw Gardner Minshew and you don't understand the QB talent difference, then you must have watched another football game because, look, I firmly believe if we had Richardson back there, whole different ball game.
Yeah, because when we're talking about Minshew and kind of the difference between him and a Stroud or a Richardson, we think about to the play where Minshew ran the ball and slid a yard before the first down marker. Listen, these are mistakes we've watched Minshew do over and over this season. Get out of bounds before he gets to the first down marker, slide before he gets to the first down marker to avoid taking that hit. Well, as a quarterback, if you're going to run with that rock, you got to embrace that hit. I mean, we see it all the time with quarterbacks. When you're running, you want to get your team in the best position to win. Sometimes you got to take a hit, and that's one thing that Minshew won't do. And it was prevalent, you know, it was big for us last night when he didn't take the hit to get that first down. Did we get the first down on a later play? Absolutely. But, you know, it was a situation where we could have had a fresh set and kept the momentum going. Instead, we had to drop down to I think it was a 3rd and 1 or something like that situation. So that's just another little downplay. But again, not taken away from this entire season, but this game in particular, we need more consistency across the board from that, which Richardson would have given us.
Mm, yeah. I mean, that's what we believe. I don't know with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, what y'all think about it. I know what Texans fans think, but we're trying to hear from Colts Nation. Stroud played phenomenal. I mean, props up to him. Texans found their guy. They get a shot in the playoffs, so congrats to them. But we still had a chance to win that game. We could have been in that spot. We could have won the AFC South for the first time since 2014. Like, you know, I think we just played the better game. We committed less penalties. We had more first downs. I think we had more total yardage. But really, you know what we really had? We really had the better running game. We had the better running back. We had the ultimate weapon in Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he was sensational, right?
Rare form. We talked about it all leading up to this game. Got to be in rare form. He did just that. I mean, 30 carries for 188 yards, one tutty. Longest was 49 yards, and he could have kept the ball rolling, you know, had he not gone to the locker room, had he not been shaken up a little bit. I mean, JT was on fire.
Yeah. Talk about that 49-yard play, that 49-yard run. I mean, that just showed his ability as a rusher. It gave me, you know, that I it was reminiscent of that Patriots run where he ended the game when Wentz handed off to him, and he made two linebackers right in front of him miss. It's crazy. And then he just takes off past the second level.
Speaking of that one real quick, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I saw a next gen stat on that run. I don't know if you saw this, Eric, but his projected was 1 yard on that carry. And of course he beat about 49 yards. Yeah. I think it was like 19.49 miles per hour. He ran on that play. I mean, he was just moving. He was moving. So kind of dope to see that.
So a projected 1 yard play,
mm-hmm.
probably, you know, just off what was given, the average, you know, simulated running back would have got 1 yard there, but this man got us a touchdown off of that. I mean, only a handful of running backs can do that in the NFL, that even come close to his vision, his swiftness, things like that. I mean, he's just one of the best running backs on the planet, and I'm glad we have him. I'm glad he had a breakout game like that, because, you know, he was due for one of those, and historically, he just goes beast mode against the Houston Texans. So, run game was dominant. I was really happy to see it. So shout out to him. Offensive line, I thought, also had a great game. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of positives, I feel like, that came from this game. Pass blocking, run blocking was good. It sucks that we lost so many players to injury this game, just even outside the O-line. But Braden Smith went down, you know. Juju Brents was out. We lost Will Mallory. But O-line, impressive stuff from the sky. Bernard Raymond has taken, like, the second-year ascension. Just a diamond, third round pick diamond. Loving it. All the guys have been playing pretty well so far, you know, when healthy. So shout out to this O-line.
Yeah, they did their thing. They did their thing, man. And so, again, just another piece of the puzzle. I'm just proud of what we had, especially going into this thing. I said it before and I'll say it again. Second string quarterback, banged up offensive line. You know, it's we had issues on the offensive side of the ball and the defense side of the ball. We still went toe to toe with these dudes the entire time. It literally came down to a 4th-and-1. Literally came down to one play.
Yeah. Yeah. This defense, I thought, wasn't horrible, but wasn't great by any means. I know there were a lot of Gus Bradley tweets last night, but that usually happens with any Indianapolis Colts loss. That's what we do. But I thought we couldn't get pressure on CJ Stroud. That's one thing I thought was a key to this game. We got to be able to rattle him. You know, one of our sacks came off of Ronnie Harrison Jr. blitz. Mm-hmm. It was a blitz, you know? Shocker that a blitz works sometimes. So that's when, you know, one of our sacks. And the other was just DeForest Buckner just being DeForest Buckner. I mean, that guy is one of the best defensive linemen on the planet. Of course, he got snubbed on the Pro Bowl, but Pro Bowl is just a popularity vote. I guess he won't get all pro either, but it just sucks that he got snubbed for that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Nico Collins destroyed us, almost went for 200 yards. Secondary needs work in the offseason, but, you know, Gus Bradley, is it scheme related? Is it player related? He needs to at least be on the hot seat. You know, second play of the game for the Texans? 75-yard bomb? Come on, man. What's going on? Is it our safety? Is it Rodney Thomas missing his assignment? Or is it scheme-related where he wasn't supposed to be able to, like, that's what we don't know. That's what we don't know. That's what at least I don't know. I don't know if you know, Jamal.
Nope.
Rodney Thomas has been having a rough year. So it's easy to just point the finger at him, but I'm curious, man. Like, how you get beat over the top on, like, the first play of the game? Like, stuff like that can't happen, man. EJ Speed looked really good. You know, I can firmly say releasing Shaq Leonard was fine. Probably best decision for this team. He still doesn't look great on the Eagles. I think there's promise for this defense, but, you know, going from Eberflus to Bradley, I can't tell if it was a downgrade or an upgrade, or if we just stay stagnant.
I think most people probably say it was a downgrade. I think that if anything, it was a little less than stagnant, in my personal opinion. A little less than stagnant. But our defense, I mean, like you said, we only had two sacks this game, one from D Buck and then one from Rodney's. And that's we talked about how important it was going to be to get to the quarterback. I mean, this defensive line has been known for all year long being fifth in the league for sacks because they're able to get to the quarterback, and it just didn't happen last night. And that's an issue. I mean, you give Stroud time to find Nico Collins, he's going to find Nico Collins. It's just going to happen. Like, you have to pressure these guys to be able to get them down. And I really think that, you know, I know you mentioned Gus being on the hot seat. He needs to at least be on the hot seat. Gus needs to be on the first bus out of Indy. I've been saying that for forever. And I'm not even saying that just because of the game last night. The Legion of Boom defense, that's in the past, dog. That's old. That was 2012, 20, you know, whatever the case is. It's 2024. Like, we got to move forward now. You have to be in attack mode on the defensive side of the ball. And whenever we do blitz, I think one of the reasons why we don't blitz too much, because whenever we do blitz, we leave such a huge, huge soft area atop, over the top of the linebackers and below the safeties. And that's where we just get picked apart. So it's a liability that blitzes. Why I feel like we really don't really blitz in that zone defense, because it's the world's biggest liability if we don't get to the quarterback within a second and a half. So I think that Gus has to find his way out the door. I don't think he's going to fit the mold of what Steichen wants. I think Steichen's going to want someone aggressive on defense the same way he's aggressive on offense. That's just my personal opinion. Of course, we'll see how this goes during the offseason. A lot of crazy moves I feel like are going to happen in the offseason with this team. With Shane Steichen, because of who he is, I think that he will command that some moves happen, i.e. the defensive coordinator position. And people like Ballard are going to have to make decisions on if they agree with what the coaching model and the mold is from the head coach, or if he still wants to have, you know, full control of what's going on. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting in offseason, though. I think we have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Gus Bradley, the Shane Steichen, and the Chris Ballard saga that is Indianapolis.
Yeah, the Gus Bradley era may be over. I think he's at least on the hot seat. I don't know if it's completely on fire. I do know it's weird. So, like you said, the Indianapolis Colts, top five team in sacks, total sacks. Is that a result of Gus Bradley? Or is that just
to have dogs?
That may be your opinion. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out because we have a pretty good run defense. Mm-hmm. I would say it's, you know, a little above average. I don't know, man. It just seems like every loss we've had, like, you know, the last three losses, like the fingers, most of Colts Nation, they are pointing at Gus Bradley. Wins, they don't sit, you know, they don't congratulate Bradley. Yeah. But any losses, boy. It's which, like that game, like the Texans game, Colts Texans 23-19. Like, am I pointing my finger at Gus Bradley right there? We had a chance to win that game.
For sure.
We had a chance. Fourth and one, he catches that. We're in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
No one even realizes what Gus Bradley did.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's just sometimes I feel like we live in the prison moment. We need to let the dust settle. We need to really just look back at the season as overall and say, hey, where are our deficiencies? You know, should Gus Bradley be here? What are our holes on defense, offense, things like that? I don't know. I just don't want to react too fast. I've done it before. You know, I've been wrong. So
I think my first thing I look at, I think about that as, and, you know, call it what you want, but I look at the points for and points against. Points for 396 and points against 415. Again, is that all on Gus Bradley? Players have to make plays, man. Big time players make big time plays during big time games. I mean, but at some point, we have the NFL, you know, leader in tackles and Zaire Franklin out there on the field as a playmaker. We have D Buck, who had, what did D Buck end with, over 10 sacks? I think 10 and a half sacks this season. Playmaker. I mean, I know there's just two people I mentioned right there, but I feel like we have some solid playmakers on the team. So I don't really know at what point do we, like you said, Eric, kind of draw the line at, is this Bradley or is this just the people we have? Because we talked about Yannick and how he had 9 quiet sacks for us last year, 9.5, I think it was. Then we brought in Samson Ibukam, who balled out this season. But I mean, so who's someone who got just as many sacks? What we said, Ngakoue being in there was a liability, but then we had Ibukam in there, and our defense is still a liability. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think that we can reasonably sit here and say that one person is the problem over the next one. But I just think that, from my humble opinion, this the soft zone that we play, it's just not cut out. It's made to get picked apart in this day and age of football. I think that it's just not what we need on this defense. But again, I will be more than glad to go back, and I'm sure during the off season we'll go back and review stuff and kind of talk about what went right and what went wrong. But like you mentioned, if we would have scored, we would have won. No one would even bat an eye at Gus Bradley and the fact that we gave up 19 points, because it's happened in other games where we've given up 30 points, but we scored 32 or 34 because the defense got a pick six or a fumble or whatever the case is. No one cared at that point. So yeah, you definitely don't want to be wishy-washy with that. Pick a side and stay on that side.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about this offseason. We got a long offseason to go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Indianapolis Colts have missed the playoffs three straight years.
2021, yeah.
Yeah, 3 straight years. 2024 should be magical, though. I think the fact that we overachieved this year for what we had, I think it can only go up even again this year, or next year. So I'm looking forward to what we have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be exciting time. These guys are going to get another year of being able to mesh together. Hopefully some of these kinks will iron themselves out with players, especially who spent the entire season on IR. We'll talk about that later. But I think that with all these people coming together again for year two, we know what the new standard is for here. We're able to thug out a 9-win season with all the ups and downs. And there were plenty of them in this season. I'm not too mad at what happened about this, because this could have easily been a 4 or 5-1 season, and we could have been saying, what is going on in Colts Nation? Instead, we end with above 500 in a first-year head coach position. I'm about it.
Could have been a lot better than 4-12-1.
Absolutely.
I will say that. Hey, you got anything else, Jamal?
That's all for me, dog.
Hey, let us know what y'all think. If y'all got this far, we need to know what your thoughts are for the offseason, thoughts on the game, just thoughts. You know, what you doing on Sunday night right now? I'm just kidding. That's going to be it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Colts Cast. We're live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or any platform you use to listen to podcasts. We'll be back next time to give you some more Indianapolis Colts content. Y'all take care.
Take care.